friends and tonight in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, we thank Thee that we can reassemble to worship You in spirit and truth. Thankful for the eternal nature of Thy kingdom, made up of nations and church and throne. Praying, our Father, that as we are guided by Thy words, as we meditate upon these words which You spake unto Thy household, which You made known unto the lips of Thy apostles with vision, that we shall understand where it is we are in the clock of time and what it is that we are facing as we look out over the conditions in our environment. Pray again, our Father, that this nation shall be awakened from its sleep and from its apathy, shall recognize from whence comes its danger, and shall join with all the nations of Thy household to overthrow the powers of darkness. We pray for awakening that shall sweep the world. We are aware of Thy presence, and we are aware of the soon coming of the majesty and power of Thy heavenly hosts. And so as we commit ourselves in Thy hand, we say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, praying that You'll grant unto Thy people the courage to witness and bear testimony to truth, that You'll grant unto them the understanding and give unto them all of the necessary intuition to carry forward with courageous activity the declaration of truth. So we say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. We turn tonight to our subject concerning the writers in Revelation. It is a significant and interesting thing that even as we talk to you tonight upon the facets of these forces which in these latter days are to be active, that we are landing 15,000 more troops tonight in the areas of the Vietnamese struggle, that we are building up for what is inevitable. Even J. Edgar Hoover says this week that we face a growing spy peril. The only thing that is discussed here, however, is that this great growing spy peril is going to come from the Chinese. Now, of course, that must be naughty to say anything about any race or any group. When you talk about spies or communism, this is to be considered racial, of course. But of course, J. Edgar Hoover wasn't thinking about that point when he talked about the fact that the great danger will come from Chinese now. Because Chinese come and go. They come out of the Chinatowns of the nation. They come in and out of the country and so forth. And they'll be carrying on spy activity for Red China. Because as the war builds up, as we eventually move into a facet of World War III, just as surely be coming as tomorrow's sunrise, why, of course, the Red Chinese will utilize Red Chinese spies. However, I think first things first, I think you better look out for the fifth column that's already coming to these United States that's mastered the Red Revolution from one end of the world to the other. Look out for Jewish spies and Jewish conspirators first. Now, of course, there'll be those that said we shouldn't have discussed this tonight, but we should discuss this at any time when we're dealing with this subject, because I remember who it was that turned over the atomic secrets to the Soviets. Every last one of them, right down the line, with the exception of one woman, was a Jew, and every last one of them turned the secrets of atomic secrets over to the Soviet Union, both here and in the Canadian spy plot as well. The Green Glasses and the Fuchs and the Rosenbergs and the whole group of them, every last one. This is not a coincidence. This, my friends, is an area of operation. You can go to the records of the United States government and find out who helped to overthrow the Tsar and who helped to create the inner pattern of the revolution. Find out who directed it and who managed it. Go to the records of Captain Montgomery Schuyler, who was one of our commanders in the areas of intelligence in the Russian zone when the revolution broke out, where American Expeditionary Forces were the first force on the face of the earth to fight the communists. Some people don't know that, but the United States government and our forces fought the communists before anybody else was engaged in conflict with the communists outside of the people inside the country trying to save themselves from the Bolshevik Revolution. So it is, we have the facts from that day to this. Shelves of them, not only written by the investigators, but volume after volume by those that were perpetrating this revolution, seeking to spread it throughout the world, seeking to conquer eventually all Christian civilization with it, trying to gather the manpower and the hordes of Asia to accomplish this objective. There is no doubt that this is a continuing plan. We are told by such men as Secretary of State Rusk, who at one time was quite naive on this subject, and actually in his relationship to Amerasia and other projects of the State Department helped to sabotage Kaishek, whether he realized it or not at that time, and in that instance helped to see that the fall of Kaishek's influence are lost to the mainland and to Shao and Wei and Mao, the control of China. Well, the significant thing about it is that when they confirmed him in the Senate for his position as Secretary of State, he apologized to the United States Senate for the mistakes he had previously made and said that he no longer held these positions. He thought once it was an agrarian revolution, but now he realized the deadliness of communism, whether it was in Russia or in Red China. And so we confirmed a man who had made a mistake that had helped to lose 750 million people their independence. As our Secretary of State. This is what he said the other day. He said, "I am firmly convinced that communism designs to capture all of the Pacific, to eventually dominate the entire world. It's not giving up. It believes it has chances for success. It's making no attempts at reapproachment, no attempts at peace or truth, but is planning, skillfully working on strategies of gobbling up Asia." And he should know. I point out the fact that it is important that you consider this, those who are not here this afternoon, that again throughout this week, turn to the first article, United States News and World Report. You can go to Newsweek, Time and Life. They also grudgingly have to admit. But you turn to United States News, first article this week. It says the President of the United States has to turn for his support in his anti-communist attitude and his determination to stop the expansion of communism, his determination to crush it out in the Dominican Republic or wherever it raises its head in the Western Hemisphere. He has to turn to his support, to the right wing, to the conservatives, to the people that opposed him when he ran for election, and he can't get the support from his own party. What does that mean? That means, my friends, that when you're right, you have to turn to the right for support. And it means that this is one area where he's right. We have opposed him where he's wrong. We will support him where he's right. I point out to you tonight that we're in a very grave and a very dangerous situation throughout the world. The world is about to be engulfed in areas of conflict that are as inevitable as tomorrow morning's sunrise, unless satanic power were to capitulate. There's no strategy or plan in the blueprints of Lucifer to capitulate, nor in those that work as designed. The stakes are big and the stakes are high, and there are those that have pledged their fortunes and their energies to work with the revolution, because in the control of the world through its socialist agencies, its ventral areas, it does not intend to operate as a socialist procedure would operate on paper. It intends to set up empire builders and controllers of the economy of the world and to share it with a vast upper echelon that are in power while the rest of the world are reduced to a status of mediocrity beneath their control. I point out to you, it's quite evident today, 3 million people control the whole Soviet Union and are under their control. Out of all of the millions of the Soviet, 3 million people are its masters. No leveler, no redistribution, as the communist cause would say, though they promise the world, and one of the things they hold up to the world is the redistribution of all the things you've created or you've made. They're promising this to the world now. They're using this as bait for the Afro-Asian conference, even now beginning inside of Asia, which has been preliminary in conference agreement all this week as they get underway. The past week, as they've gone over the blueprint, they want to break down all immigration barriers. They want to redistribute the wealth of the world. They want to do it through world government agencies. They want to crush what they call as the prejudicial attitude of the nations of the Western world against absorption without any delineation of the masses of Africa and Asia. They want to put 70 million people into these United States out of Africa and Asia for you to absorb. The president in this area has not been right, and Pinky Humphreys hasn't either. This is where they have called for an abolition of our immigration laws. This is where they've called for opening the door to show that we're not prejudicial. Well, my friends, it's not a matter of prejudice, it's a matter of decision based on facts. If we wish to preserve the status of our nation, its culture, its way of life, then we must learn how to shut the door, as all intelligent nations do, and how to retain our balance in culture, in race, and background. This was the intent of the senators in our nation. It must become the determination of the great majority of peoples of these United States. Again, I predicate these remarks with the fact that there's 149 million white Christians in this country. If 149 million white Christians cannot determine the destiny of a nation of about 200 million people, then shame on us. And if there's anybody that would deny us the right to attempt to attain these goals of the retention of our society, then they would be rather naive indeed. for they would be denying us that natural right and that spiritual urge that is ordained the Most High God. This has been a rather unique week, as we mentioned this afternoon. Some of you that were not here this afternoon, the many tape listeners that may not hear this afternoon's tape. This has been a week when the pressure of the anti-defamation league type of activity and the pressure of Jewry, which is fighting back against your areas of communication through the tape and the millions that you have listening all over the country, came on all week long with a skillfully prepared piece of libelous propaganda. Now they build it up for a week or more of advertising. They advertised that they were going to show the hotbed of hate and so forth, and they had ads in the Times, and they had hooded men in the picture, and then they were going to have a vast expose. The whole thing was set up this week in which 90% of the entire broadcast was leveled at us all week long, and we don't belong to any hooded order. But now this is only a matter of pretext by which they launched the operation. The major operation was against you. For every truth that is uttered in this pulpit, for every fact that comes out of Bible prophecy, for every great awakening truth that can stir your nation, they were seeking to turn this aside. They are worried about one thing. They're frustrated about one thing, and that is truth is rolling on like a river. That takes, spreads, it multiplies, it goes. That you're reaching, in the short period of a few years of this phase of the ministry, you're reaching millions of people, and you're reaching them here and all over the world. So the design was, I suppose, that they thought the smear would take hold. Or when you prepare to invest what would amount to millions of dollars before you're through, because when you continue the broadcast as they did every few hours, 5-minute intervals, and then sum it all up as they did on Friday night with an organized program of about 90% liable, you must be prepared to be pay off. There's not much way to retract this. If they make a retraction, they're going to have to put the ads all in the paper just as far in advance as they did for their libelous program. Then they're going to have to give the same kind of time, and then they're going to have to turn us loose with an hour and a half unlimited on that broadcast. And if the regulations of the FCC work, they haven't any alternative. And if they don't do that, they're going to pay and keep on paying. Now, if you think that these libelous attacks, this attempt to show that opposition to the things you dislike or the things that are against your faith, your race, and your nation, if they think that this is hate, then, my friends, America better learn how to hate and hate well. We have read the passage over and over again. The passage that asks the question, are we to love or to hate the enemies of our God? We are to join with the psalmist who said he hates the enemies of his God with a perfect hatred. And then this means all-out energy applied. Look up the word hatred. It's total opposition to the thing you're against. I don't believe you should do anything halfway. Now I'm going to say this tonight. The people that have sought to destroy America have been filled with hate. They have been working on your Christian civilization since the first refugees came over here crying they wanted a refuge. They sought to destroy and to work a diabolical scheme to break you economically, to break you socially, to destroy the faith of your fathers, to take away your right to pray in schools or to read the scriptures, to destroy your background and your heritage, and they boast of their part and lot in this matter. Nobody, my friends, demonstrates his hatred more completely against Christ than the Antichrist and his forces, and they've been doing this since the days of Jesus to your time. And if you want a primer in Antichrist, the powers of darkness, you go back and start in the book of John and see what they said and what they tried to do to Jesus and what Jesus said about them, and you read this very skillfully and very carefully and go very slow as you go through the 7th, 8th, and 9th chapters of the book of John and on, and you've got a lesson as to who to look for Antichrist. And then you turn over to the 1st and 2nd epistles of John, and you'll find out again who the Antichrist is, and then you move into the book of Revelation as God with vision and revelation speaks to John, and John the Apostle gives us the book of Revelation, and you find out that the whole political, social, and economic intrigue, and eventually the vast plan of manpower hurled against the nations of Christendom, is the design of Antichrist. We spoke to you about why the church had to war against communism last week, and we called your attention that the scriptures clearly outlined that communism was going to make war with the church.
that the dragon and all the hosts of darkness and all the anti-Christian forces were going to make war with all that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. We pointed out that one of the programs of the Antichrist in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation was to make war with all the saints and the believing offspring of the Most High God. Well, you don't have much choice that if you have any interest whatsoever in fulfilling your responsibility to occupy, how about to understand that they are going to make war with you, then you plan on winning this war, and you plan on unseating their power first in the great nations of his kingdom, and then to stand out against their forces throughout the world. It is the destiny of the nations of God's kingdom to smash the powers of evil, to break the forces of communism, and to liberate the earth. Mr. Lodge is on a discussion tonight. He said that the great objectives of America must round out to the fact that we wish to contain communism and stop their advance. That may be partially true from Mr. Lodge's viewpoint, but the right program of God for the nations of his kingdom, and they're going to do exactly what he says, because there is battle action, there's weapons of war, he's declared in Jeremiah, is not to contain communism, but to crush it. Now, we just might say to you tonight, and to those that are listening, that the calls and the pressure and the communications that resulted from this long tirade, we were not even this part of the state the first half of the week. We were in the northern part of the state. We were in San Francisco, the Oakland area. And we've been hearing from all over the United States, and we have almost 100% response across the country in total favor. Everything that they heard, even when they took partial excerpts of our statements from this platform, put it together and re-cemented it together and put it out, was received by people as something some of them hadn't heard before and others did, and they said, we're with you. You see, one thing, those that pose and desire to be our enemies, whether they're doing it for a buck or whether they're doing it to please the ADL or whether they're a part of the revolution, it all ends up to the same thing, whether they're hirelings or whether they're conspirators. That you can't quote truth without having its effect carry on. Now, they overlook the fact that though they admit that your church has one of the finest laboratories technically for spreading tape and manufacturing it, and that you produce more of it than anybody else in the country, and you do, you produce and use more tape than Capitol Records. But the fact remains that the thing which they overlook is that every address that's delivered in this auditorium is recorded. And every address that's delivered everywhere is recorded. And we can put our finger on anything that they take a part of and quote, and we can prove that they take two or three tapes and cut it up and put it together to get the impression they wanted to get. It's all right. We don't mind that. We just understand the source. Let me tell you this. In trying to establish, of course, that we are anti-Negro or anti-Jewish, why, they used extracts from addresses which they put together. But they were not too smart. What to them looked like the most terrible thing was one of the most hungry truths that the people were waiting to receive. Right. Someone said, are you against Negroes? I'm not against Negroes anymore, and I'm against elephants. Nobody with intelligence is against anything because of its existence. When we oppose something, we oppose them on the basis of what they're doing. We oppose them on the basis of their stand towards the relationship of their plans and purposes in the program of God's kingdom. I'm going to make this very clear. God placed me in the earth as his offspring, as he placed you here as a white man. And I am for the carrying out of God's program for the white man first, last, and always. If the question is asked tonight, do you believe in white supremacy? I believe totally in white supremacy. And I'll clue you to something. So does God. And when he came to earth, he didn't come a Chinaman. He didn't come a Negro. He came a white man. And he said, you're in his image. And then when he identified himself with his people because he came that he might be like his kinsmen, he came a white man. Billy Graham notwithstanding. Now, Billy Graham knows better than this, but of course, Billy Graham is trying to satisfy the world order so he can stay in good with the White House and so forth. And the White House is trying to stay in good with these kooky advisors.
So they tried to say that Jesus could be a mulatto, half Asiatic, half Negro, or half Africa and half white. But you see, the theologian that says this has just done away with the deity of Jesus because Mary had given virgin birth, and if this is not true, then the whole tenet of the Christian faith collapses right here, and there is no possibility that there was any Negro involved with the Virgin Mary. And the Jews have concocted some fantastic stories. They tried to say that the father of Jesus was a Roman soldier, and there were no Negroes that were Roman soldiers. So you see, the Negroes have caught themselves in a lie. Somebody tried to say, well, the Jews then tried to interpret. They actually got a verse here that has some extra words in it when they helped to translate. And it says, being as was supposed the son of Joseph. Well, he couldn't have been the son of Joseph, hadn't been anything but a white man. But the whole record of the scripture said that the Holy Spirit had appeared to the Virgin Mary, or that Gabriel had appeared to her, moved with the Holy Spirit to tell her that the child that she was to have was the Holy Spirit. This was the holy thing of God. Someone says, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe that. You're not a Christian anyhow if you don't believe that. Because one of the signs that you get in the book of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. You don't like that? Well, you just don't like what God said way back in the days of Isaiah. But I point this out to you, that in this individual the fullness of God dwelt bodily. By this declaration there is no capacity for the powers of darkness to unseat the realities which God was able to prove in his own power over death. He said, before Abraham was, I am. So there isn't any doubt that they will do everything they can to try to integrate and mongrelize your race and destroy it, because it's a part of prophecy for this day and time. The hordes of Africa and Asia would like to swallow you up like a flood, as is reported in the 12th chapter of Revelation, 2,000 years almost before the events. And I tell you this tonight, this great nation was founded by individuals with spiritual vision and one of the most astute volumes on the history of the United States today. And they try even in this to blend in a lot of transitions and changes in philosophy and idea. But as they write this volume, they have to admit that one of the basic influences in the formation of American society were Puritans. And at least they will have to admit that their concept was built around Christ. Supreme Court has ruled this is a Christian nation. We intend to do all in our power to keep it this way. And if they don't like it, leave it. With all kinds of hostility raised today against Christendom, with every academic approach and design upon the part of Christendom to try to solve the solutions, and out of the area of its grace, and with all willingness to assist, we have rushed to the ends of the earth to help them in times of earthquake, famines, and floods. We've made no discrimination against them on the basis of their race or their color, their creed. If they needed help, Christian America came to their rescue. And the catastrophe can sweep any part of this nation. And there is at no time then is there a sudden determination to discriminate, because we have gone out in all conditions and situations to meet this need. But I'm going to tell you, the hour has come when, with a persistent and continual attack on our Christian faith, they are turning Christians and they are turning members of the white race to a total wall of resistance against every facet that would destroy our society. The charge today that a believer is an anti-Semite. Now, of course, this is fantastic, because the white race are the descendants of Shem and the true Semites. But if you want to refer to the thing as anti-Jew, then I can tell you that if you want to ask the question, are you anti-Jew? I have become anti-Jew, and this could become the story of my life. You say, why is this? This is because of their conduct. If they had not stepped in to constantly attack every good thing, we might not have paid much attention to them. We discovered back in 1945 and 46, where we were one of those opposing the formation of the United Nations as a violation of divine law, and when we were then at that time chairman of the California Anti-Communist League, and we were conducting seminars against communism in churches and schools throughout this state, and one of the things we soon discovered, every time that you discussed communism and you were against the dialectic materialism, the Marxist philosophy, or you started to expose Marxism or Leninism, that automatically the entire Jewish community turned to attack you. Oh, they might have one or two here and there that are naive, or one or two in there that don't go along with this, but I'm talking about all the official leadership inside that community. And then we discovered something. We discovered that we were under constant harassing bombardment. Whereas we spoke in conferences in areas where we were well prepared and had helped introduce the chairs of Bible anthropology and in background research on nations and people, this had been one area in biblical research that we were expert on and had spoken to groups in every denomination all over the country. But in this instance, when now they suddenly started to attack us, they tried to cut off every avenue of contact with the people. They tried to deny free speech. They tried to isolate. They tried to stop the utilization of all of the facets which were our rights. They tried to cut us off in auditoriums all around the San Francisco area. They have consistently done this in the peninsula and all over until finally we found people that would stand up. But after you go through just a little bit of this, you know what happens? You are determined from this time on that you will fight this evil as long as you live. So we have watched the attack, and we have listened to what they thought was harassment, and we have watched them make a big mistake, because they suddenly exposed all of the city of Los Angeles to their broadcast, and every time they quoted us or misquoted us, they got out enough truth that they didn't realize its impact. So we point this out to you to say that this is just a little bit more to be added onto the fantastic and fictitious report of the Attorney General Lynch, which was drawn up by a Jew named Rubin that came out here from New York to become Assistant Attorney General. Why can't we find an Assistant Attorney General in the state of California without having to get New York schmoo to do the job? All right. And then Herbie Brim, he had to help along too, you know. Either that or he's a notorious liar, because he came out in his own paper and said, I supplied the Attorney General with the material, and the material was all 90% hoax. I was very glad that Dick Butler, the Christian Defense League, sent that telegram they were reading over the television radio all over the country to the Juvenile Delinquency Committee in the United States Senate yesterday. For that's where they were holding the hearing concerning the proposed arms legislation. He said, don't let your committee be influenced by any facet of the testimony of Attorney General Lynch in this matter, because it's not true, it's fictitious, and isn't reliable. One of the things which he charged was that they needed an anti-firearms legislation so that cannons and mortars and hand grenades and explosives wouldn't be shipped to California, where it'd fall in the hands of the Christian Defense League, which was one of the terrible military organizations heavily armed in the state of California. This is a lie. Let me tell you something about the Christian Defense League. Christian Defense League doesn't own any guns, cannons, mortars, any armaments. It doesn't even own a building. The Christian Defense League operates from desks and from offices and files. It's a Christian educational organization out to defend Christians from defamation. Doesn't put out military booklets, doesn't give any instructions in a military fashion, doesn't engage in military drill, is not a paramilitary group, and Mr. Lynch is a liar or a dupe. Church of Jesus Christ Christian is not a military organization. The church is not only not a military organization, the church carries out its full function as a church, and they well know its religious areas of education go all over the world. But inside this church, there are thousands upon thousands of people that love Christ and are American citizens, and some hunt and some possess arms to defend themselves. And what they're worried about is that as Christians everywhere are prepared to defend themselves, that God might stir them someday to stand up on their feet against communism and socialism to take a stand to save their nation. They're worried about this, not because there's something military now, but they say in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, it might come. Now let me tell you something. Whenever a society in state or federal avenues becomes suspicious of its population, and then the Christian population, then what they have in their mind and plans is suspect. There would be no reason to ever fear a people that would lay their lives down to defend this country and know that the true enemies of this civilization have come out of the ranks of the communists and those that have financed it and spread it and led it and manipulated it. So we tell you tonight, we think they duped the Attorney General. We think he never investigated it. We think that they told him what to do. We think he's gone ahead on this propaganda line, along with Gonzalez from the Los Angeles Police Department. We think they rang every last bit of emotion out of this hearing. They even set it up so Bobby Kennedy could shudder and weep as he went out. They took a rifle, just like the one that was used to kill President Kennedy, by a communist, by the way. And they had it at the hearing. And then after calling for the ending of the shipment of arms and all kinds of pressure, the president's brother went out, looked at it and shuddered, say. Let me tell you something. Don't ever let them let you forget that a communist killed the president of the United States. Whether you agree with that president or not, this heinous crime was committed by an enemy of our culture and our society. And we ask no quarter of communism. Let's give them none. We totally support the bumper sticker I see all over. I don't know whether they come from the Minutemen or Depew. I don't know whether they come from the Birch Society. I don't know who prints them. But it's time we registered communists instead of firearms. The whole basic report of the Attorney General concerning the activities of this church was also a lie. It's not connected with the National States Rights Party. It's not connected with any political party. But it is openly in support of Christian Americans who stand against communism. Amen. And we will continue to support a challenge to Christian Americans to stand up and be counted, that you can't be a good Christian and not be a good patriot at the same time. Now, under this instance, there is always to be expected that harassment will continue, but of what importance is it? There is no way that you can turn off what we are saying or what we have already said or what we have already recorded by the thousands. Irrespective of anything that they might try to do, any way they might try to silence this voice, it would not stop what has already been released, which will go and go and go and go. But I'm going to tell you something. We've reached an hour where God said, I'll put a wall of fire about you. God will raise up voices and leadership across this nation, and this nation will not go the way of the planned destruction. It will not be swallowed up by world government. It will not lose its independence. It will not become a socialist society. We've gone too far down this road of communism and socialism now. We're going to go the other way for a while. So to listeners everywhere, we repudiate the whole fictitious program. A lot of them were unhappy because we wouldn't give them an interview. Well, after we saw the nature and way they were snooping around and we found out who they'd interviewed and what kind of questions they'd asked and what they'd done, we were not going to supply any of these people with any information at all. If they want to hear the information and come to church, they can quote us if they want to as to what they heard in church. But I'm going to tell you, when they misquote us, they're in trouble. You know, the areas of communication controlled by most of the areas of its control by non-Christian forces and by those that are diametrically opposed to the concept of the conservative Christian, they think the world just has to hang on their areas of communication. They think everybody is so anxious to get on television or to use free radio time that they'll come right over and cooperate with them every time they snap their fingers. Well, listen, we're getting along real fine by our own areas of communication. We don't need their publicity at all. But I'll tell you something very surely. We will use their free time without being tampered with. And this, my friends, we will get. Or they'll pay the biggest price they have ever paid for not doing this. You know, attorneys have heard this and they said, why, this is the most open libel suit we've ever heard. Judges have heard this. And judges said they never heard anything as fantastic and as brazen as these broadcasted judges right here in your city. All right? How can you lose against a complete lie? Let her go. Now, if they seek to intimate that this is the headquarters of hatred across America, they're going to have to interpret hatred. We hear from congressmen and senators all over that things we discuss are not only relayed all over America, but
They receive letters from every branch in every part of the country, and there's not a congressman or a senator that isn't under constant continued pressure from awakened Christians who are now starting to think, and they're taking action on their thoughts by writing because they've been affected by something they've heard from this pulpit. Now, this, my friends, is a serving a vital purpose if we awaken men and women to think and then to take an active interest in the destiny of their nation.
But this, my friends, is not an organized control. This is just a declaration of truth. If what we say is not true, then don't worry about it. If it was not something effective, our enemies wouldn't worry about it. Whether they pay attention to us or not, we have multiplied 100% in the last few months. Now, let's turn to our subject tonight. And I heard the voice saying unto me, says John, the 6th chapter, book of Revelations, come and see. And I saw a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. When you go into the facets of Bible symbolism, when you follow the mind of the prophets from the days of Daniel and Ezekiel, on down to the revelation that Jesus made to his disciples, his conversations, and then the revelation which he gives in the book of John, you discover in the symbolism from Old to New Testament of a rider on the white horse is the symbol of a program fronting as a peace movement. That the white horse was always the emblem and the symbol of peace. It was also an institution that was trading on its power to do peace, and if it had a bow and showed no quiver of arrows, it was essentially operating as a peace movement to accomplish other objectives. Now we find the scripture point out that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and only potentate, according to the Apostle Paul in the scriptures, is Yahshua Jesus the Christ. And he is not only Prince of Peace, but he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he arrives at his peace on a far different procedure than the so-called peace movements of the world. The peace that is accomplished by Christ is a twofold peace, a peace for the hearts and souls of those that are his household and those that will recognize him for what he is, for having accomplished for them so great an atonement and for sending forth the great areas of spiritual grace. He gives them deep in their minds and their hearts a peace that passes all understanding. Creates within them a loss of fear and a new area of trust and communion with the Eternal Father. As to peace with the forces of darkness and the powers that are against him, Christ is also Prince of Peace and King of Salem and carries the full Melchizedek priesthood. And the strategy of God in bringing to pass such extenuating peace comes through victory, not through negotiation. Comes through the breaking of the powers of darkness, the overthrowing of the forces of evil, and the crushing of their power to rule. And out of this emerges peace. No, there's only one kind of peace. It's the peace that comes through victory. Remember that tonight. You don't get peace by negotiation with the enemy. You don't get peace, my friends, by acquiescing to them. If you want to read the textbook of Mao of China, here's what he said. He says, if we are in danger of temporarily losing a battle, or if we seem to be hard-pressed, and it will not look like pressing this to our advantages of advantage, we therefore will strike for peace. We will make a peace. We will enter into an armistice until we have taken our enemies off guard, they feel secure in their negotiation, then we'll strike them suddenly. When you know this is the strategy and these are the words of a leader that's your enemy, you don't talk peace with him. You just plan on how can you knock him out and that quickly. Our great problem is how can you overthrow and destroy the powers and the military forces of China and do this without hurting too great a number of people and to confine this as far as possible to its military objectives. That's your major problem. Because I'm going to tell you that tonight China is engaged in the greatest military program of its history. And if you were to go to this morning's Los Angeles Times, you'll read Red China to train 750 million people into paramilitary groups. What's a paramilitary group? Does anybody know? 750 million, though, is big enough. All right. When we talk about this conquering rider on the horse, this is the beast system. This is a part of the beast system, so it doesn't belong to Christ because it's a part of the beast. Starts out as such. And this is a latter-day function because it is in the latter days. We show you this with all these writers, that it is in a climactic latter-day struggle, the end of an age, the final apex of conditions. It moves within the last half of the century of the end. This, my friends, starts out with world peace movements, in which a great number of statesmen are taken in by the manipulation of the planners. If you went back to the formation of Mr. Rothschild's Illuminati, you would discover that in the days when your nation had first come into independence and the Illuminati was being formed in Europe, so one of the strategies of the Illuminati was to embrace all the things that sound good to the Christian man and then destroy him with these very words. This not only involved fraternity and brotherhood, and an extensive use of the words equality, because these were now a part of the great semantics of revolution and new birth. But along with this strategy was the design to entrap men by peace till they couldn't resist the buildup which they would create to eventually subordinate and rule over the nations of the world. It was in the records, the doctrines of the Illuminati. And I can take you back to George Washington's time, and George Washington had become even then a contemporary expert on the procedure. And I have volumes out that I have in my library, and I can tell you where to get them out of the Library of Congress. Go and read Nesta Webster's volumes on secret orders and subversive societies that go way back, my friends, to the 1700s, and find out who the Illuminati is, who organized it, how their strategies existed at that time, and how eventually this spread into the very secret processes of setting up the Soviet Revolution. So we look into the end of World War I. The world tired of war. Families wanting respite who had lost their sons. Nations of the white race had been fighting one another, and the blood of the white man was flowing into the common ditch of death to satisfy the international manipulator and the dealers of death. They laughed at it. And they had planned the downfall of not only all of Europe, but simultaneously prelude to the areas of war. They had launched and started to launch in 1909 the Soviet Revolution. And then they even had taken in people that thought the use of this revolution to help bring down areas of the enemy by sowing the areas of this revolution within would be valuable. But any time you sow evil among the people of your own race in order to bring about a temporary military victory, this is not always wise, because you have to live with it afterwards. When World War I was over, socialism was entrenched in Germany, replacing the government of Germany. And the enemies of Christian civilization were firmly entrenched there, even though you had been the first nation during that war to come to grips with the hosts of the Soviet Revolution. I have photographs and records concerning that first expedition of yours against communism. We point out then that the formation of a program, which even President Wilson jumped into under the advice of one of the enigmatic peoples of all time, Colonel House. Colonel House had helped use his influence to set up the Federal Reserve System in the areas of finance. And Schiff's and Kuhn Loeb Company and others thanked him for serving his mother's people, for turning the economy of America into their hands. And I have the secret papers of Colonel House that is one of the most important series of documents on this matter, and other documents, and by Jewish publishers too, in which they praise House for turning the economy into their hands. And in the instance of these volumes, they gave him a blank check for the rest of his life that he could go anywhere in the world and he could get anything he wanted, and any Jewish bank in the world would honor it. I'll show you a copy of this in the bound volume. I can take and project it on a screen. I can go to the Library of Congress and pull it out and show you where it is there in the dockets and the records too. I can show you the writings of senators who realized that there was a lot here that involved one of the biggest periods of duping duplicity in history. And the League of Nations was formed. And skillfully, World War II was designed in the peace which the League of Nations prepared. The same economic manipulators had been creating and stirring The processes that produced World War I ever since, my friends, the days of Napoleon. From the days that the French had taken the area that they named Alsace-Lorraine out of the Rhineland, they had sowed an area of discord, and this was being stimulated and worked upon, and conditions of crises were being created in Alsace-Lorraine, economic and political. And it's a matter of records I can show you out of papers that come from our own representatives and are in the archive files today. You can go to the archives of the United States government, and it's now outdated, and you can see the documents if you know what to look for, and you'll find out the reports of what was creating the disturbing factors in Germany and what the conditions were and how it was being manipulated by the reports of our own correspondents, of our own representatives. So World War I became a reality. At the Treaty of Versailles, the League of Nations was being prepared to handle the situation and to determine the conduct of nations and the decisions of nations concerning the things that were to come. The League of Nations was the beginning of the issue and the emblem of the rider on the white horse. The political peace movement that they were going to manipulate into an area of bringing in world government and the program which Christ called eventually the Antichrist, because Christian nations would be outnumbered in it before it was over. The socialist world system would take its place. At the Treaty of Versailles, you remember that they divided up and partitioned Europe. They gave vast areas of Germanic territory to Poland. They left the Warsaw a free city, which had once been a German city, or the free city of Danzig, rather, and the corridor to it. Now, the facts remain that in the League of Nations manipulation lay the foundations of World War II. They promised at the end of 20 years that a plebiscite would be created and all these areas taken from Germany, and if they voted in this plebiscite to return to Germany, this would be permitted. That free trade avenues would be opened, the free city of Danzig would have its opportunity to vote, but that the citizens of Germany would have freedom throughout this period of time if they continued to live in this area. The only reason why I point this out, this is only one area of about a dozen areas of manipulation, but one of the cardinal ones that precipitated the conditions and crises that produced war. The League of Nations was a string-pulling organization. It utilized influence, but it had no military power. The only power it had was of member nations, and no member nations would move. The political design was not to have the move until they were ready to precipitate another crisis in a world war. Who were they? The manipulators behind the scenes that wanted to rule the world. You say that's wrong. Well, tell that to Jesus. He said that this was the manipulation of a false and yet worldwide peace front that was a string-pulling organization of power and influence that went forth conquering to conquer. But it possessed no weapons of its own. When the conditions of crises came, and when the 20-year period was up, and none of these areas were allowed their plebiscite, and when pressure increased, and people started to move, and the patterns of war were created, remember that Poland, remember this now, gave an ultimatum to Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania just a few days before World War II started, that they had to become the property of Poland. Remember that Poland was in alliance with the Soviet Union. Remember also that having committed waves of atrocity against citizens of Central Europe, they refused to make any reparations and gave the historic telegram, attack and be damned. We make no justification for the facets of war, but I tell you that World War II was sowed in the League of Nations. And World War II gave birth to the United Nations. And any time you extend the areas of so-called peacemaking organizations, that you surrender the sovereignty of your country, you have surrendered a part of your liberty. And you have been skillfully warned by the Spirit in the book of Revelation that you're not to join them, you're to come out from among them, be you separate. You have been told in the prophet Ezekiel and in the writings of Isaiah and Jeremiah that you're to make no peace, no confederacy, and enter into your union with other countries and nations that are not of your race and deny your God. This is the scripture. The other day we had a person posing as an opposing expert on this attitude. We knew the fellow was a Jew, even though he posed as a professor. And he said, you just discount all the facets of the New Testament because we're not going to accept any of the facets of the New Testament or the advice of Jesus in this matter. All right, now he says, you claim to be an Israelite, which you were not. So we're just going to turn to Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, who said, don't enter into this kind of a confederacy. And don't do this thing or God's judgments will fall on you. Keep yourselves separate and never enter into a confederacy with the enemies of your God or your faith. So you see, they're tied up with their own whips. Either they have to throw out any claim to the eternal Yahweh, or they've got to acknowledge that His way is best. Now, under this instance, when the United Nations was formed, we find that Europe is divided in half. We discover that the outcome of World War II, with the division of all Europe, puts half of the European countries under the control of the Soviet Union. We now know the deadliness of Potsdam and Yalta. We now know that we were entering into agreements and we had made as our ally an enemy of our faith and our race. I tell you tonight, we had far more affinity for all of Europe to stand up and turn against communism in Russia than we did to join with Russia to crush ourselves. I may not have no brief for facets of political philosophies that are foreign to our own philosophies of political activity in our country. But I know if communism had not spread, if socialistic philosophies of evil had not moved, if Jewry had not created the conditions it had tried to bear down and crush the peoples of Central Europe, the real tribe of Judah and the Germanic peoples would never have elected Hitler and they never would have risen to power. They can cry out all they want to now about Nazism. I'll tell you, the Jewish oppression of Central Europe created Nazism. So what kind of government would you like to see? I'd like to see this grand old republic just keep rolling along. But I'm going to tell you that a people will take so much and then they explode. I want you to know that when we ended World War II, the prophetic pattern of the world conspiracy was moving on. And now we again discover an institution supposedly dedicated to peace that makes war throughout various parts of the world with the utilization of nations, but never has any power to do anything that's good. Betrayed us to the Russians during the Korean War. Has betrayed all Christian civilization for all time. For the military authority and the symbolic host of the military functions of the United Nations is always a high-ranking Russian officer. I can show you material from the information, the Military House Information Center, that shows that every area of communications on logistics and material that went out to any member nation of the United Nations or our allies during the Korean War was also relayed to the Russians, and they had it at the same time, and they sent it right on to their allies in North Korea, and all logistics and displacement and materiel and men were always at the information mercy of the enemy because we had an enemy at our council table. God said, come out for my people. All right. We have become involved in Africa, and we have become involved in Asia, we've become involved all over the world, because when it comes right down to the last analysis, the nation that tries to oppose communism, and the nation that comes out, and the nation that pays the bills, the nation that has become Uncle Sam in this matter, has been the United States of America. We have paid the majority of United Nations costs to the point where even now there are those internationalists in our society that want us to pay Russia's share just to let her stay in here and vote, and she's the biggest detriment you have in the thing. Now, the white horse of the apocalypse, which by negotiation, by disarmament conferences, by assent to that which is evil, would disarm the great nations of God's kingdom, would try to go out and conquer and to conquer, just pulling the strings of the bow. So what are we supposed to do? The Bible says, come out of her, my people. J. Edgar Hoover says, with the admission to Red China to the United Nations, our situation is going to be much worse. He must be getting awful old and about to surrender. with the admission of Red China. Every Christian in America should fight from now and forever to keep Red China out of the United Nations. If Red China comes into the United Nations, 750 million more people will be voted by that country, and Rule 9 could turn over the entire administration of the United Nations forever to the four hordes of communism without you having anything to say about it, because you wouldn't have the power of veto, and you wouldn't have the power to outvote her by number. And this one vote, one country, can be dispensed with any time they want to change the rule. Because the rule has been set up that they can take a count and they can evaluate it by the numbers of people, and they've been waiting to get Red China in. I think if we let Red China in, the first thing we should do is let her have our seat and get out. Your Christian destiny is not in any way solved by your participation in this program with your enemies. The scripture makes it very, very clear that you are to come out from them. All the queer action, your action in the Dominican Republic, your action over in the VidCon, has not been something the United Nations has done. It's something that you've done, and you're paying the price for. The OAS has stood by and drags its heels, and the United Nations won't come in. They don't want to bother Russia, and they don't want to touch Castro's Cuba. I'd just like to see Teddy Roosevelt around for just a little while. When we got through, the American flag would fly over Cuba until Cuba knew how to protect its own destiny. When we were through, we would make sure that the Caribbean stayed free of fear. Tomorrow, Colombia, Bolivia, and then Guatemala. Russian submarines have been moving in and out of the Caribbean. They have been transporting the material of Armageddon. Never mind, the United Nations isn't going to help you. Today, the NATO organizations have well discovered that there is no security except in the firm determinations of nations that are willing to stand and fight, not wait for the permission of Mr. Uthon. Listen. And I heard the second beast say, come and see, and I saw that another horse that was red, and power was given over to him to take peace from the earth and to kill one another, and there was given unto him a great red sword. This is the red horse. This is world communism. It moves with fast speed out over the nations of the world. From the day of that red revolution to this period now in 1965, it has gained control over one-third of the land surface of the earth. When communism expanded in the Soviet Union, it was still somewhat contained inside of the borders of that Soviet Union. There were skirmishes on the roof of the world, but at the end of World War II, it was entrenched in many places. It was moving in the steppes of the earth. It was moving out over the areas of the heartland of Europe. Communism gained in World War II, and communism has doubled its territory since World War II. This is the Red Horse. When Jesus gave the great warning in the book of Revelation concerning the empires that satanic conspiracy would gain control of to wage war against the kingdom, even though all the people in these empires did not constitute a part of it, and he talked about the great system of the beast with its seven heads and ten horns, and said the seven heads were seven empires. He said five are fallen, one is yet to come, and the eighth is out of the seventh. We have gone over this in the past. It was Egypt, Syria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. Five are fallen. One is the Roman Empire. One is yet to come, which will be the sixth. The sixth, rather, was the Roman Empire that hadn't fallen. One is yet to come, the seventh. And then when it goes down, the last great threat to the Christian civilization of the earth will be the eighth. And it'll come out of the seventh, and it'll go into perdition. And that seventh was the hordes of Asia and Genghis Khan. Out of the steppes, conquering like a conquering horse. And for centuries, the hordes of Asia, from the days of Genghis Khan to Suleiman, from the Tartar Mongols to from the far steppes down to the Turco-Mongols, the war kept riding on. From the days of Genghis Khan to the days of Martin Luther, the battle continued. And it was finally as the knights of all Christendom, with even a concordat with Rome, stood united, that the
death of Genghis Khan turned the hordes back to the steppes. And you'll remember that this was followed by, again, still centuries of war. And in the days of Martin Luther, the conquered Dutch formed against the hordes. And the last vestige of the hordes were driven out of Europe, across the Danube, and into the steppes. Listen. This was the seventh. This was the hordes that had been actually organized from the little country of Venice. Having moved from Pergamus to Venice, where Satan's seat was, as Jesus said in Revelation, the headquarters of International World Kahila moved over into this area of Venice. And here they send out their runners, including Shui Pei Noyan, wealthy, powerful, influential Chinese Jew who became the advisor of Genghis Khan, who helped to gather for him arms and equipment, helped to cement the union of the tribes, and then turned them against Samarkand and Baghdad and on into Europe until they brought them to the gates of Vienna itself. Amazing design was that they had promised that they would give to Genghis Khan the world if Genghis Khan would give to them the citadels of Christendom. And they wore their yellow armband for identification. That's the first time the yellow armband shows up. In fact, one of the now dead but late scholars whose works were very accurate and whose historical bibliographies are unlimited were Genghis Khan, on the history of Genghis Khan, the hordes, was Harold Lamb. And if you go down the bibliographies of his material, and we have many of the volumes in his bibliography in our library, and you will discover that in Germany, in Martin Luther's day, they made these betrayers who opened the gates of cities at night and who helped betray to the hordes of Asia the loot of their community. They made all of their race after this wear the yellow armband. That's where it started. Listen. The Red Hordes. Jesus said, woe to the beast system that gave power to this seventh, for it'll give power to the eighth. The eighth will come out of the seventh. And then this beast whose deadly wound is healed will come back against Christendom, the last and final sweep. Today I tell you that out of Karl Marx's philosophy and out of Kuhn Loeb Company and Jacob Schiff and their finance of the Red Revolution and out of the utilization of these people to spread it, came the strength again of the great scourge, the eighth, which now threatens the world, out of the seventh, given power by the false beast of Luciferian Antichrist progeny. The fact remains that the words and prophecies of Jesus have been accurate. No threat to your race or to its faith since the days of Rome, like the threat which has come out of the hordes of the Khan, and in these last days, communism. 7 million people were put to death in the first few years of the communist revolution because they wouldn't give up their faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that whereas Christians were driven out and Christians were liquidated and Christians were murdered, that they didn't war on other facets of faith. And one of the biggest lies being sold the world today is Soviet Russian anti-Semitism. One of the major Jewish papers was trying to communicate with his people just a few weeks ago when it said, there is no problem for us here. Do not let the areas of propaganda influence your own thinking. And it gave the names of responsible jobs they had from every branch and bureau of Soviet economy in the areas of economic life, in the areas of its political dispersion of authority, in the areas of military and statecraft. And then it says the Jews are not only happy here, but in their festivals they are dancing in the streets. I want to point out this to you, that outside of a few phony show churches with a fifth column priesthood in Moscow, Christians are not dancing in the streets of Moscow. They have made a godless and pagan society, which they hurl against the Christian world, and which they subtly are planning on ultimately accomplishing a complete conquest of. Oh, they say communism has changed. Its face has changed. It wants to coexist. It wants peace. It wants to get along with the world. But in their Romanian conference on psychological warfare, they said we must again put our enemies to sleep. We must fraternize with them until we can crush them and rule them. All right. The red horse, which goes forth to take peace from the earth, conquering to conquer, that created the crises in Africa, that serves to stir all the Africans and is stirring them in the United States. Hear this now. From Communist Williams to Communist-trained Martin Luther King, the farmer outfit and all of them, with their communist influence, are stirring the Negro up against his own best interest to make him the tool of a communist revolution to pit race against race in these United States. Now let me point this out to you.
We have often repeated, and we should never forget, neither Rochester or Philadelphia, because it demonstrated the force of these mobs, their violence, their theft, their irresponsibility, their attitude towards law. If you were to go down here in the files of the police department, you discover the unprecedented crime wave that has been coming from these people. If you were to go to Washington, D.C., you discover that 85% of all crime is committed by these people. You discover that they have just released from the responsibility of obeying law, and under this irresponsibility, they're using the excuse of that they psychologically are upset, and in this psychological upset from the tension and conditions, they commit these crimes. Why, they have become as astute as this as the average psychiatrist, and you can catch a Negro that can't spell or write, but he'll talk to you about his psychotic condition. All right. This is a part of the revolution, to take peace from the earth. At the same time, it has openly declared that there can be no peace between Christianity and communism, and I think it's time for all churches to ascribe to the same thing. Now let's face it, we've got the highest budget in history. Why is the United States collecting the highest tax budget in history? To hold up a military strength and stance in order that we can keep enough manpower ready to go here or there at any sign of revolution or war, and to hold back communism, because it's the only threat in the face of the earth to you tonight. The president says so, and this is the reason for the demand, this is the reason for our military strength. Therefore, I tell you that this is your enemy, and this is the red horse of revelation. And if he's not your enemy, then all these fellows have to admit they're liars. But don't be taken in tonight. Communism is your enemy. Now don't separate the political hordes of world communism and their design from the other facets of the philosophy of the Antichrist. And I opened the third seal, and I saw the third beast, and he said, "Come and see," and lo and behold, a black horse, and he that had on it had a pair of balances in his hand. And you go back to the symbolisms of your race, and you'll find that the black horse and its area of manipulation of balance and its control of finance is the symbol of economic warfare against the kingdom and the economic rider. And of course, this is world socialism as the economic rider of destruction. Those that are behind it want to gain control of the most valuable resources in the earth, the areas where they can control more men or influence more people. The most important facets today for the control of the earth is wheat or food, oil for transportation and for industry, and the liquor interests to befuddle the minds of men. Remember this now. Although I heard the rider of this black horse say, as he had in his hand a pair of balances, "A measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil or the wine." It's only been in this last century that oil has had the great political significance which it has. It's only at the end of the age that this would take place. The great problems of the Middle East are even tonight centering around the control of oil. The great designs to gain control of the Suez is not only to be able to control whole facets of the oil flow, but also, of course, the manipulation to gain control of the tremendous mineral wealth and the wealth of explosives and chemicals of the Dead Sea is also involved in the struggle of the Middle East. We know today that Jesus told us in these latter days that the people that would enter into Palestine and try to take it over would be the abomination of the desolators. This is what Jesus said concerning them. And when you see the armies encompassing Jerusalem, you'll understand why. The first of this measure begins to come when on the 24th day of the ninth month in 1917, the city of Jerusalem was released from the control of the Turk, passed into the hands of a mandate of Great Britain under an accepted agreement of the then existing League of Nations. And on the 24th day of the ninth month of the prophet Haggai's calendar, on the exact day, the surrender to General Allenby of that city marked a prophetic time measure in the scriptures. and Britain administrated the affairs of Palestine until the bloody revolution at the end of World War II, when the Jews from all over the world, backed by their Ogpus, went in and they slew Christians and murdered Arabs and drove them out of their homes and put them out in the desert to starve. Of all the atrocities, no more bloody or deadly atrocities were ever committed by anybody than by Jewish Ogpus and armies against the people they displaced in the land of Palestine. Don't like that? Try the white papers. Try the United Nations white papers. Because remember, it was Count Bernadotte who went down to see for himself, and they murdered him to keep his record from going to the UN, not realizing he had already sent the record the day before, and when they grabbed his briefcase, they only had some later duplicate notes. I have the white papers of Count Bernadotte. Yes, there is no doubt about the fact that economic manipulation and confiscation of the control of resources and of money is a part of the conspiracy. When we talk about the black horse, it wants to talk the leveler, but it wants to control all the areas of economy. I want to ask you tonight, who owns the liquor industry, do you know? Who owns it now? I'd let this decision be made if you would take just a list of the distillers in the United States and find out who owns it. Then all you got to do is go to France and find out now who controls the vast areas of the largest section of wineries on the face of the earth. I want you to go down in Italy and find out where they swept since the days of Mussolini. Find out now who holds and controls the majority of the wine industry inside of Italy. And you'll discover that it ends up in the hands of large financial international banking houses that are controlling today, through their control, the liquor industry of the world. Listen. We talk about private enterprise, we talk about sovereignty in the Constitution of the United States that says that Congress alone shall have the right to coin money and establish the value thereof, and now they're taking away the coins. They ran off with your gold, they're running off with your silver, they've offered you maybe stainless steel, more likely aluminum, and maybe you'll have to settle for plastic. You know how to get out from under this black horse in a hurry? It would be for the peoples of these United States to suddenly say, we're going to freeze all the gold and silver right here in these United States if we have provided and dispensed our currency to help people get the good things of life. Then let them trade them for goods, but leave the gold and silver right here. Oh, you say you can't do that. That wouldn't be honest. Well, you think it was dishonest to suddenly change the whole price of gold and evaluate the savings and the income of the peoples of these United States by almost 40%? Do you think it was constitutional or American or by principle right when suddenly we said we will honor American certificates and dollars all over the world, we'll pay them in gold, but an American can't have it? Do you think you got freedom if there's anything they say you can't have in this country, but people all over the world can have that belongs to you? Answer that. This is economic manipulation to lead up to the Antichrist. They strip you, lots of your gold. They're planning on stripping all they can get of it. The only reason why we're not in total economic crisis tonight is because the administration have been using all kinds of stopgap programs of substitutionary and phony economy to keep ourselves from going down. Someone said, don't you think they ought to? Well, I think they should try to stabilize the economy and keep it from going down, but I think they can stabilize it real fast if they just freeze American assets and start issuing money on the basis of production. And there'll always be a dollar for every dollar's worth of goods there is produced. Somebody said it wouldn't be right. It would be Old Testament law. It would be right. All right. We haven't the time to tell you all the facets of what is in store. You know, if you were to measure the heavens, you'd know next Sunday is a great crucial date measure by measure. You'd understand that there's certain historic things that are measured. We gave you some preview of this at the beginning of the year. And even just looking at the signs of the measure, we have Uranus in ascendancy in the natal house of the United States government as a nation. We've got a squaring condition here in opposition as it affects Mars and Saturn. And we have this in this triangulation a total opposition to the planet Jupiter under the war sign on the 30th of this month. Economic, political, military. this is an area still governed by that sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, which occurred, according to the prophet Ezekiel's prophecy, took place on the 4th of February, 1962. And this year is the 3.5 years, or the 42 months measure from that date in September this year, for the beginning of the judgments of God upon the enemies of his kingdom. Someone said, well, you're not allowed to say that anymore. Well, if it's in the Bible, and if it's a measure of the sky, and it's a matter of history, and it'll be a day of a great eclipse. This is an important measure. There'll be another one in the month of June of great significance. Another measure. But I bring this out to you because you're only 1 week away. Earthquake alignments are possible. In fact, they represent one of the best measures for low atmospheric pressure conditions to take place. Now let's turn on again to the fourth beast. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name and he that sat upon it was death and the grave that followed after him. And power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, the emblem of the pale rider was in ancient times identified with ancient Assyria, with the hordes of Asia and the steppes of China. And I tell you that it controls one quarter of the peoples of earth. And their ancient utilization of beasts in the field of battle identify this area of the earth. It also demonstrates massive hordes stirred up by the manipulations, first of the phony false peace fronts, added by the expanse of the riding masses of world communism in their military stance and political objectives, its economic growth through the socialist manipulation of all things. And don't you think that you don't have all kinds of creepy socialism manipulating, confiscating, and seeking to control your enterprise in this great nation? In fact, they're going so far now that even the state of California, they're talking socialism. You say, what? Well, they're talking on a minimum $5,000 wage to every adult. Did you know that? To supplement their wages or to take from those that make more than this to see that it's spread out. That isn't socialism. You tell me what it is. Why, if we offered a $5,000 check to every individual that was an adult in the state of California, they wouldn't have standing room in California after you passed it. Well, you say, no intelligent person would be for it. Well, that might be, but the governor was for it down the Statler Hilton Hotel when they had the review a few weeks ago. All right. From the hordes of socialism to the world revolution. Now the manpower that they want to turn against you from all over the world are the hordes of Asia. You can turn back to Ezekiel and it says these hordes of Asia join with Ethiopia or Africa. Will come against you from within, from without. Edgar Hoover said, watch the Chinaman and the Negro, and then watch those whose attorneys and whose political organizers have organized the revolution. Watch it. All right. Power is given over one fourth part of the earth to destroy with the sword, with hunger, with death, for the beasts of the earth. So as the Dr. Swift, can we survive all this? Yes, we'll survive. God has given you one of the best geophysical positions in the face of the earth. And your geopolitical stance is very vital. You are the heart center of the Western world. And I point out to you that in the destiny of prophecy, this nation, under the outstretched wings of the eagle, under the symbol of the cross of Christ, is not only going to survive, but it's going to survive triumphantly to the end. And the anger is going to rise up in your countenance, says the book of Zechariah, and there's not going to be a Canaanite left in the house of God. It tells us here that the world government, with all their political systems, will see the vast hosts and fleets of Christ coming with reinforcements in the sky. And they turn their rockets and their missiles, they turn their weapons of war, it says here in the book of Revelation, against Jesus Christ and his hosts as they come to take the side of his kingdom and his nations. Someone said, how can they get here? Are you so conceited to think that you can put a man on the moon and Almighty God can't bring in the hosts from out there?
Are you so foolish to think you can do something that hasn't been done over the millions of years in the past? Some creep came on this program the other day and said we gaze at the stars and look for spacecraft. Don't have to worry about it. They're there. I don't think many people look at the stars because they just don't know very much about astronomy and they don't know too much about mathematics. Maybe they don't have the instruments and they don't care. I'm going to tell you something. It pays you sometimes to look up from whence comes your strength and from whence will come your deliverance. I can tell you this. As we're going to speak on this next Sunday night, and there are signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Never has there been a period when it's more important is for you as a Christian American to realize that these prophecies and symbols were not empty, but were purposeful, and Christ placed them there on purpose for you to understand. That as far as the solution of the problems of the world are concerned, the solution is still Christ and His kingdom. So we urge you tonight to tell it, tell it, tell it. To stand fast for your liberties. To stand fast for the Constitution of the United States. What they're trying to do to it is they try to rip it up and reinterpret it and reassign new authority to themselves that are not contained in it. It is a violation, my friends, of that Constitution and is the true revolution against your way of life. If you have any responsibility today, it's to make your representatives stay inside that Constitution and to have no authority except that which was delegated to them by it. Someone said if they won't stay in it, then impeach them. Now, I just want to say this tonight. It's probably true that I've met and talked with more people in right-wing organizations and conservative movements than many. And they contact me, and they come and see me, and they call me long distance, which is foolish because they tap our phones a lot. And they sit outside to see who comes and goes. They take down the license numbers. Well, we see lots of people they don't know about. We're coming quite adept now at giving the slip to whole lots of followers who think my business is their business, but it isn't. They're paid to find out, and we, my friends, are just tired of being harassed. Quite a game. Every once in a while, we have to take electronic devices. We have to go all over our place to see where we're bugged and where we're tapped and where to root out the new listening device. We have to check our phones all the time. Why? Because this is America. What's gone wrong? We just let the wrong people in and we've let them stay too long. Disturbed? No. Not very much. I'm going to tell you this is what I found out. Every individual that I've met in any secret organization, every open organization, every patriotic organization, every nationalist organization is dedicated to preserve these stars and stripes and this nation and this Constitution. I have not talked to any man in any movement anywhere in these United States of any kind or any sort that wants to overthrow the United States government or overthrow our state government. This is a fictitious lie. With this exception, that I've heard this call of violence from left-wingers, from communists, from student bodies agitated by commie antichrist professors on our universities even. I've heard its advocacy spread. I've talked to investigators who have been in the commie meetings in Watts and who have been in the meetings in Harlem and who have been in the areas where it's spread. And I have listened in Washington to officials in internal security and investigators who have told us what it is that they have gleaned and what they've learned. I have been briefed by the best. I know that they plan the stroke of death. But not one of them make up the great white Christian majority whose organizations and institutions are pledged to this fact, the defense of America. If you want to know why these organizations have had to come into existence, if you want to know why so many patriots have been stimulated and stirred from educational organizations to economic organizations, even to organizations like the Minutemen, I'll tell you why. The threat of armed revolution and communism beyond the containment of police forces have forced citizens to think and plan to protect themselves. You The threat of organized invasion of the areas of education have challenged Christians to prepare to defend themselves and to counteract that at the educational level. This is why John Birch Society and others want to influence education. God give them strength to get in and influence it. And this is why people are going to be challenged to run for office and people to back Christians for high positions of government, because the enemies have moved in to every area from appointment to election. Someone said, this is the cry of fear. No, my friends, it's just a challenge. I know that America is surging, vibrating, pulsing, about to explode. And I know that the communists are lighting the fuse. But God's going to supply the dynamite.